Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeff Ketchum, Orange Blood, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about this Chris Beard situation. Ketch, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good. It's good to be back with John and Lance. Like it feels like it's been a hot minute, and all these warm fuzzies are kind of overcoming my body as I think all of our previous encounters over the years. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing great. You take care of your body. Please don't do it while you're talking to us, but you take care of your body, and we'll have this conversation about Chris Beard. Not surprising, and the right call to fire him yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the university feels like something happened that night after all of its digging around. And look, you know, I think one of the initial questions on this was, in the police report, Chris Beard claims to the police officer that he's got video evidence, tape that will prove his innocence. I think one of the very first things that happened was they were like, yo, show us this video that you claim exists. And that apparently does not exist. And they can't get beyond the fact that there's a belief that something crossed the line that night. And that was kind of it. They're really... this idea that the charges might eventually get dropped, which they could, you know, I think in less than 12 months, I think from a legal side of things, Chris Beard's probably going to be in the clear. At worst, this probably gets dropped from a felony charge to some sort of misdemeanor, and then you go from there. But from the University of Texas's perspective, they just couldn't get beyond what life would look like to have a basketball coach who, you know, I mean, we can all close our eyes and imagine going on the road in the Big 12 and mugshots being everywhere and every fan base kind of doing its version of the let's make fun of this situation. And for Texas, they just felt like something happened that night, and that was kind of it. And really, for the last few weeks, in their mind, they've been trying to get Chris Beard to resign with what they think would be some sort of dignity that, go ahead, resign. You can then take your time, get your life back together, you know, clear yourself of these charges, if at all possible, begin to public rehab your name, and then in a year or two, you're back in the game, and it might not be with Texas, but, you know, you're back in the college game, and that just never came close to happening from what I can tell. And then this week, they set a deadline of 10 a.m. yesterday, the final deadline. There have been several deadlines, and at no point had he ever come close to resigning on any of these deadlines. He didn't resign by 10 a.m. yesterday, and he was out the door by 1:30. I can't remember exactly what time it was when that happened. It all feels like a blur, but this was always where we were headed.
Ketch, was it all about, I mean, obviously his reputation and things like that, if he thinks that he was that this was a wrongful arrest or whatever the case may be, but how much of this was actually about money? That if he resigns, you know, he wasn't going to be able to get his money? Because they ended up firing him without cause, and I know that me right now, I'm just thinking, okay, and my wife even mentioned this, who's a Longhorn and you know, has a law degree. She said, if he ends up being found either not guilty or the case is dropped, you know, there is definitely that chance that then he goes after the university and tries to...
Well, he was fired with cause.
He was fired with cause.
You said without.
Cause. Yeah. So you can, you know, you don't have to pay him anything. But obviously, Chris Beard is going to go after that contract and going to go after that money because he's going to say, if the case is dropped, there was no cause, I should still get my money. How much is the money, did that play in how Beard handled this?
I mean, it's always about money to some extent. So, you know, he has apparently a clause in his contract that says if he gets arrested for a felony charge, they can fire him and not be on the hook for any of it. So from what I've heard, you know, I wrote this on the website on Orange Bloods last night, but the University of Texas is always concerned about being sued. And they dictate a lot of what happens based on what they think might happen in response with regards to being sued and tied up in litigation and the ugliness that can kind of come along with the process. Not this time. The sense that I got really since this happened was that Texas felt like it was in a good position legally to get rid of him if and when that moment approached itself. Now, I don't think that, you know, obviously Chris Beard and his lawyer, they want to get as much money, $35 million or so, like, left on that deal. But I get the sense that Texas isn't worried that if this were to ever go into litigation, some sort of lawsuit, they feel like they are on very good footing. And I haven't sensed that they ever once flinched with regards to where their positioning is. I do think part of the not resigning element from Chris Beard is the continued hope that somehow, some way, he's not completely out of all of that money. That's kind of where this thing could go from here. I mean, there continue to be threats that a lawsuit could occur. But again, I would stress that, and I can't stress this part enough, this never happens where I sense that Texas is overconfident with its position, that they're like, go ahead, sue us, we'll see what happens. We feel pretty good about things. It does appear to be the case this time. And I can't imagine when it's all said and done that this goes too far. I don't know that Chris Beard wants this thing to go into discovery. I think that this thing gets, ultimately what Chris Beard really needs to do is begin the process of getting this thing cleared up from a legal perspective, and then he's got to kind of rebuild his image again. Look, he's going to coach in major college basketball again.
You think?
I think for Texas, it just couldn't be at UT. And I think there's some backstory here. You know, if you go back to 2018, Texas had a professor that had been found guilty of, and this really hasn't, I kept waiting for this article to pop up somewhere because it's kind of an ugly chapter in the University of Texas's history. But in 2018, they had a professor that was convicted of a violent domestic assault, and they didn't fire him because from their position, they didn't feel like he was a dangerous component on campus. They end up changing the rules because of the fuss that was made over this situation. This guy ends up dying, if I'm not mistaken, from suicide back in 2018. And from that moment, Texas, I think, has felt like if and when in a position where there's another major situation involving somebody accused of domestic assault, that it would take a different position than the one that it took back in 2018 when it somewhat covered for this professor on campus, and here we are. And I think that a lot of this, their reaction stems from probably getting it wrong in the first place 5 years ago. I think on some level the school's been waiting, not waiting, that's the wrong choice of words, but in this day and age there's always going to be another situation that follows. And I think from that moment in 2018, the feeling was they would get it right the next time. It just so happens the next time with Chris Beard. And I got to be honest, like I said, the moment that this happened, I never, and I'm really surprised by this because I thought Chris Beard is such the dream coach on paper for UT, especially going into a new building. It's like they've waited their entire lives to have Chris Beard to Texas. I thought they would fight. Well, we'll wait. We'll let this thing play out. Let's give Beard every chance possible to retain this position because he's the guy that we wanted for so long. And yet, almost from the moment that it happened, all I've heard is he's done and it's just a matter of when
the finality occurs.
Jeff Ketchum, we're almost out of time here in this hour, Ketch. Where are we on Sark after year two?
Not good enough. An elite-level recruiter, but 13-12 through his first 25 games, no bowl wins. You know, the Kansas State win this year is probably the best accomplishment that he's made. At some point, he needs to start winning games. I don't think he's under any pressure, but not good enough.
Yeah.
Period.
Does he have to – you've been around. You've seen Mac operate. You've seen the guys who failed after Mac. Does he have the personality, like – how do you think from a personality standpoint he fits?
I think his personality is fine. I think I question just whether he's good enough. I mean, we're you know, and his defenders will say, look, when he was at Washington, he's taken over a program that was really floundering and he got it back to respectability. Look at USC. He wasn't there long enough through his own doing to really prove what he was capable of. We're still talking about a coach that has very few top 25 seasons under his belt. I don't view him on game day as a guy that over the course of 60 minutes gives the Longhorns an edge. You know, he's considered a great offensive mind, but there are times during games when offensively you wonder, why is Bijan not touching the ball? Why,
I know. That was
on a
crazy
day when your quarterback is struggling, and why are you throwing it 50 times at Oklahoma State when your quarterback can't hit the broad side of a barn? So he still just has a lot to prove.
Mm. That's Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ketch, good talking to you. We appreciate the insight.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Jeff Ketchum here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.